Welcome to the Riverside Church podcast. We hope today's message encourages you and strengthens your walk with God. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to take the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, and we're going to read the story very quickly of a quick synopsis of Abraham's life, and we're going to learn from that and then kind of dissect it and go in. But I think at the end of this, I really believe that you're going to be not only motivated, but have a desire, and your faith is going to be full, and you're going to walk out ready to walk in the promises of God. And this is a joint effort with God. How many of you believe we have to work with God if we want to see God work? You just can't come here, sit there. I mean, you know, you want the best out of a church service, put into it, right? If you come and just sit down, guess what you're going to get? A sit-down experience. You come and you give everything you have to God, God can give everything he has for you. So give your attention to the word, and this is what we're going to read right now in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place, to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Have you ever felt like you didn't know where you were going? And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. She had faith in God. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead. That's not really a compliment to Abraham. I mean, you know, he's as good as dead. Were born as many as the stars of the sky, a multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So out of that dead body, God brought a great nation. This is the faith they had. These all died in faith, not receiving the promise, verse 13. But having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. For truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. In other words, they didn't look back. The ones that did look back turned into pillars of salt. We know the story. But those that kept looking forward in anticipation to know that God had something for them because they knew they were in the will of God, God blessed them. When God moves you, don't look back. Don't look back. Keep moving forward and you're going to see what God has. You don't want to miss what God has for you. But now they desired a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city for them. But by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, and here's the last part of what I want to read you. By faith, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from which he had also received him in a figurative manner. What I just read you is really a summary of all of Abraham's life. But the final test for Abraham was, imagine this, for decades, he was waiting for a promise. Then when the promise came, Isaac, the promised child, God asked for the promise back. God asked him for the promise back. Can you imagine? If God ever asks you for something back that he gave you, he just wants to see if you love him more than the promise. How many of you love the Lord? We're fixing to find out. Lord Jesus, bless this service. God, thank you for this time. We surrender our heart. We surrender our mind. We surrender our spirit. We surrender to you, even right now, Lord. Lord, let the anointing flow in this house and let an impartation happen, God, even as I speak and even as we listen. We don't lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge you. Direct our paths today in conversation, in teaching, in preaching. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. One more time, give God some honor. Will you do that right now and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Turn to somebody before you're seated and tell them it's time to be obedient. Time to be obedient. You can take your syllabus and you can take notes with us and follow along and however you choose to do that. We want to welcome all of our online guests as well, as our online audience is growing. We just broke 1,000, I think, on followers on Instagram and YouTube, and we're growing there as well. But, you know, that's exciting, but the whole purpose for you to have an experience online is to come to this house, and we want you to come. Want you to come. I mean, you watch the food. That's like watching the Food Network and not tasting the food. Just saying. I'm just saying, get yourself to church. But thank you for joining us. Abraham is one of the most popular religious figures in the world. Many claim to be the sons of Abraham in the Muslim faith, the Christian faith, and so many other faiths that are linked to the origin of God through Abraham, the father of faith. And once again, that all stems from Abraham making a bad decision and making a mistake from having a child with Hagar. So thank you for that. Now we deal with diversities of belief systems in the world, but everyone claims to be the sons of Abraham, and Abraham being their father, the father of faith. The distinguishing difference there is that Abraham had a son, had two sons, but only one of them had the right mother. And so this is all goes back to covenant. Covenant is based on relationship and based on your promises that come from God, but based on who you choose to agree with for the rest of your life. So when we get into covenant with God, God doesn't come in covenant with us just because we want to date him. God comes in covenant with us because he wants to marry us. He wants to not just court us, he wants to be with us forever. And it's an eternal agreement that we have with him. And so we are in covenant with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're so grateful what Jesus has done. But Abraham has so much to do with our faith. By faith, Abraham did things and he journeyed through life and went through some things that he had to be proven before he could be used as the father of all nations. So, you know, obedience is not something that just happens. It's something that has to reoccur. It's not just something that has to happen once. It's something that has to reoccur. Being obedient is really the condition, is proof of the condition of your heart, of who you serve and who you love. Obedience isn't hard when you love someone and you know the purpose of that love and the why. That's what brings obedience to our heart, when you know the who and the why. I'm going to say it again. What brings obedience to your life when you receive instruction, it will stem from a relationship of who and then also the why in that relationship. So when you get the who and the why, then the what is easy. Whatever it is you're asked to do, whatever it is that you're encouraged to do, that becomes so much easier. So in that relationship requires testing. Testing. You know, I've married a number, I don't even know what the number is, but I've married a number of people, and There are some that knew each other for a while, some that didn't. When they did get married, there was a lot of problems, and then they think they made a mistake, and the truth is they didn't make a mistake. They just had to be tested in order to grow. No one, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but maybe someone needs to hear it. No one falls out of love. They fall out of forgiveness. And so you have to learn how to forgive yourself and forgive others and learn to grow in the process. And if you can overcome an obstacle, an issue, and a problem, then that means that you're going to be stronger afterwards. I want you to look at the life of Abraham, and I just wrote this down, and I call this Abraham's School of Obedience. It sounds like a reference to a dog, but still, it just makes sense. I mean, we have these stories of Abraham, but then we don't put it together to understand. It was all these trials and testings prior to the real test. The first test was God tells him to leave his homeland and to be a stranger in the land of Canaan. Now, can you imagine moving? Have you ever moved from some place into a new location just to adapt a new culture? Find out things are different there. I'll never forget the first time I went to Louisiana and I got in trouble for turning at the red light. In Louisiana, you can't make a right turn at the red light. Didn't know that. We do in Texas. That's why Texas is better. Love Texas. I didn't know that in certain countries, you know, when you do travel, there are certain customs that you have to abide by and certain things that you don't say and certain things you do say. Some of these things you find out about when foreigners come into our land and you have to learn their custom. You know, you have to learn how to greet them properly. But they understand your culture too, so they're kind of bound by our custom and they have to learn it there. For that reason, that's why I'm not a big believer. I'm just my opinion for what it's worth. I'm not a big believer in Spanish churches, black churches, white churches. God didn't call us to have all these different type of churches. God called us to be a melting pot of different cultures and nations coming together and multicultural. You don't believe me? Look at my wife. She's white. She's not Spanish. Some people think she's Spanish. I can't believe people think you're Spanish, but anyways. My wife was Spanish, and she was white with red hair and blue eyes, and you know, I get it. But, you know, my mom was just beautiful, so was my wife. But as you can tell, I'm trying to make up for something I did wrong. But there is so much that goes into a relationship. So we think that when we mess up with God, God cuts us off. Look at Abraham. Abraham made a lot of mistakes, but I want you to put yourself in his shoes for a moment. When God calls us into the kingdom, he's actually calling us to live. It's funny because he's actually calling us to live in this land now. You know, how many of you remember the day you got saved and the day God filled you with his spirit and you felt things begin to change and this was home to you, but now it seems like you became a stranger after God saved you? You ever felt that before? As much like Abraham. Abraham, he was called and he physically left, but sometimes for us, we have to understand the spiritual connotation is that when God changes us, now where you were someone who fit into the culture, now you are now adopting a new culture and you feel like a stranger. So when you first get saved, don't get so focused on what I have to give up. Don't get so focused on what I can't do. That's why people don't become Christians many times, because all they think is all about rules. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't be friends with them. Let me stop you just for a moment. Here's the perspective you should have. I get to be someone with God. I get to have new friends. I get to do this. I get to go to church. I get to be filled with His Spirit. I get to see the hand of God in my life move. I get to experience miracles in my life. I get to go to heaven. Oh, man. You have to change that perspective. Abraham had the ability to adapt. If you're going to learn obedience, you have to learn how to adapt. Even when you know that you're in the will of God. See, when you're in the will of God and God moves you, you're going to feel like a foreigner. Because everything becomes new because you have to adopt a different mindset. And then immediately, number two, after arriving in the promised land, he encountered a famine. A famine. Right when you get there, there's no food. No, hombre, Lord, you called us here. We paid for everything. Now there's no food. What? Right? No food. Now, the famine, like I came at the wrong time. Did we miss God? Did we not come? Lord, did you not know that it was a famine? Right? It's not like it was back home, or it's not. I don't understand what's going on. Listen, this is all testing. The father of faith was fixing to go through the school of obedience to test whether or not he loved God. You know how you know you love the Lord? Is when you get into a famine and you live and smile like you've been fed, you have plenty. When you don't have nothing, but you can praise God for everything. When you feel like you're the only one, but you know that there's an unseen country whose builder and maker is God that you're a part of, and you're not by yourself, there are a host of angels that watch over you, possibly. There's at least one or two for sure. But here is the bottom line. You have to know who you are a part of. And no matter what comes your way, you have to have a connection to God. An unseen world called the kingdom of God that gives you the reality of a different perspective. And here's the rest of the challenges. The Egyptian sees his beloved wife, Sarah, and bring her to Pharaoh. Abraham faces incredible odds in the battle of the four and five kings. And this is really, I think, a good point to kind of pull out for a moment. When Abraham really begins to grow and his influence begins to expand, not just the people are against him, but the kings and the authorities of the land start to come against him. You want to know what actually was taking place, I believe? He went from a level of walking with God to taking dominion and dealing with principalities. When you start dealing with principalities and dealing with spirits, it's because you have been growing and elevating in your walk with God. If you're in a season right now where you're not seeing the fruit of your labor and you don't have the harvest, that means that the harvest is bigger and that the labor is going to be harder, but the rewards are going to be great. The kings come against them. It's one thing for you to go to work and your coworkers not agree with you or not like you because of what you believe or who you are or whatever it might be, your principle, your stance, or who you voted for. That's one thing. Those are lower level devils. But when the boss comes against you, you better start praising God and thanking him at that moment because you're growing, you're elevating. But once that happens and you have learned how to love to the full degree and you have learned how to walk in the spirit and you have learned how to obey God and trust God no matter what, every person that was your enemy has now become your main supporter. Eventually, they will get behind you. They will support you. I can tell you by faith, I can tell you by experience, every circumstance that I have ever been in where people were against me, they didn't like me, God would promote me, elevate me, and I had a chance to love them and show forgiveness and give mercy. Now they're behind me, pushing me, celebrating me, and getting there in the same place that I am at the same purpose, at the same pace that I'm going. It's called breakthrough. It's called breakthrough. Your enemies become your support system. He marries Hagar after not being able to have children with Sarah. That was a big mistake. That was part of his testing. The king of Gerar captures Sarah and intending to take her for himself. It's the consequences of having a pretty wife. God tells him to send Hagar away after having a child with her. And here's one of the final tests, one of them, not the only one, but one of them was that his son, Ishmael, becomes estranged. And this is really hard for your son, no matter who he is or what and how distant you think you are. Still, Ishmael was still Abraham's son. But this is the ultimate. God tells him to sacrifice his dear son, Isaac, upon the altar. All of that, going through all of the estrangement, going through all of the famine, going through all of the fighting of the kings, and going through all the jealous people who wanted his wife, all of these things, old age, all of this, God finally brings the promise, and then God says, give me the promise back. The test of your obedience is found out in the love that you have for God, not the blessing and not the promise, but the love for the provider, not the promise. Get it down, write it down. Your love for the provider not has to be greater than your love for the provision. Your love for the provider has to be greater than the love for the provision. You see, faith gives us the ability to walk in obedience. If you're going to walk in obedience, you must have faith. But if faith has not been tested, then your faith cannot be trusted. Consistency is the key. Before we had any pastors to help my wife and I alongside us in this ministry, we started in our home with four people. And I'm excited about Easter Sunday next week because you're going to be able to see all of your church family in one big service, and it's going to be kind of a glimpse of the future, and the building is coming in Jesus' name, and the property's paid for, hallelujah. Things are happening, things are transpiring, but you're going to have a chance to see. But I remember my wife and I trying to do a Wednesday night service, and no one showed up, so we called it a date night. We worked as baristas, as it were. Well, we weren't baristas. We just made coffee. Served in the youth sometimes. Our youth leaders were in their 50s. Then we would help. And then we were teaching Sunday school. My wife was teaching Sunday school. And it was right back there in that little building. And we started in this location because we knew that the overhead was low. And if God can grow it here, then we knew we were called by God. And it's amazing how people won't come to the church because of where it's located. But I'm going to tell you like I tell everybody else that see me out in public. Don't let my clothes and don't let my car fool you. Don't let this location fool you neither. It's what's on the inside that counts. God is taking his time to build. And I can't tell you all of the stories and all the trials and all of the testing that we had to go through. You don't know this, but we went through two church splits. Our names were slandered all over Facebook and social media at one time by thousands and thousands of people. And then people that we loved and raised up and helped the ministry took people and started another church. And we had all of these things come to pass, and these things would happen. And we were about to buy property too. And I went to a conference, and this conference, you know, is supposed to be a conference. It's supposed to be exciting, uplifting. You go there to try to get encouraged. And a man walks up to us and says, "Pastor, I don't know who you are, but the Lord told me to tell you, don't buy that property yet. Don't get a building yet. He has to take you through a process. The people that you think are for you, they're fixing to all leave you." You know, that's a great conference. And it happened. And we hunkered down, and I was prepared for it, and it didn't shock me. But we learned how to trust God. We learned how to love God. We learned how to worship God. We learned how to be consistent with God. We learned how to not give up when things didn't go well. And we learned how to let people, watch this now, we learned how to let people lie about us. I don't know if you heard me very clearly. We learned how to let them lie about us. You gotta let people lie. Let it lie. Let it alone. Truth will always come out. That's why you have to maintain an integral stance in your walk with God and continue to love and continue to serve and know who the real enemy is and stop blaming God for everything that goes wrong. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. But if you haven't been through anything, no one's going to listen to you. No one's going to pay attention to what you have to say unless you really have a story to tell, an experience to give. When I talk to somebody, when I'm in a situation, if I'm in trouble, for example, if I had a financial need, I don't go to a poor person. If I'm having marital problems, I don't go to someone who has never had a problem. I know that's probably different from your philosophy, and there's some good things you can learn from that, but the truth is, I need somebody who has been through some things, overcome some things, that can help me overcome my situation. Well, God was tempted just like we were, yet he did not sin. He has overcome every situation and every testing in this world. That's why the ultimate source for my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You can go to him about every situation and he will meet your need and he will meet you there. And Abraham had to learn how to depend on God. Abraham was also known as an altar builder, and there were specific altars that Abraham built throughout his duration of time that signified the move of God and the elevation of his stance in the spirit, and Abraham knew how to worship. He had a communion with God, but that last sacrifice and the last altar he would build would be the altar for his son, the promise. There is always a time where if you're going to be a friend of God, he has to test that friendship. Remember the old song that came out years ago, I'm a friend of God? Everyone would have played, I don't think they knew what they were saying. Because you're going to be a friend of God, you got to be tested to be his friend. You just can't walk up to God and say, yeah, we're bros. Nah, we're me and God. Man, it's my ride or die. God is my ride or die. God's not your ride or die. You got to die before you ride. Let me show you something. James chapter 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac? Justified by works. See, we think this is only about God doing the work, right? And it is. Our faith is in the work of the cross. It is. Faith is in the work of the cross. But was not Abraham, our father, justified by his works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. Now, not just believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, we just heard the proof that Abraham believed God was in his what? Works. Say with me, works. Like, your faith in God is the fact that you worked on yourself to get here today. Am I right, ladies? Now, you just want to look decent, right? I mean, you didn't show up in a robe and chocolates. I see all of you look nice. At least you look decent. And some of you went overboard, but that's okay. I'm messing with you. But you got ready. There's works involved with it. Coming to church is a work. Did you know that prayer is a work as well? Praise is also a work. I mean, it takes work to keep your hands lifted up. Worship is a work. But the true source of why is based on the who. But Abraham, it says, believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness after his works. And he was called a what? A friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. We have to get past the preliminaries of Christianity concerning faith. If you really do believe that Jesus has saved you and that Jesus loves you and that you are part of a kingdom and that you are a citizen of that land that you cannot see but you know exists. There has to be proof in your lifestyle, in your actions, and in your obedience to the voice and the inclination of the Spirit of God that moves in your life. How many of you love to feel the Spirit of God move in your life? How many of you like to go home? Here's where it really lies. I mean, you like coming to church. That's why you're at church. That's why I believe you're here, because the Spirit of God is here and you can feel the tangible presence of God. And we're going to allow the Spirit of God to move because it's His church. It's not ours. And when God moves, God does things. In this church, we've seen cancers healed. We've seen bones healed. We've seen broken bones mended. We've seen demons cast out. And we've seen all kinds of miracles take place. But it wasn't because somebody just came to church and sat there. Somebody engaged. Somebody got connected. Somebody took action. And somebody was obedient. The life that you live now, if it's blessed, it didn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. I've said this probably 2 times this year from this pulpit. I feel like I needed to say it again today. Some of you haven't heard the little story, but the story of the farmer. The farmer invited the preacher to come out and take a look at his land. Well, the preacher insisted he wanted to see. He heard so many great things about his land and all the animals and all the vegetation and all the work that he had done, the organization of all his systems in place. And so he gets out there on the property and he starts walking around the acreage and he just keeps saying, boy, the Lord has blessed. Look what the Lord has done. Oh my God, the Lord has been so good. And he kept on saying it and the farmer didn't say a word. And he said, well, he just stops the tour. Finally, he's over with it. He goes, I just have to tell you, God has done a great work here. He goes, yeah, he had. And he has. But the farmer looked at him and said, but you should have saw it before he gave it to me. You understand what I'm saying? God will bless you with land. God will bless you with rain. But out of that comes, and God will bless you with seed. But you got to plant it. You got to cultivate it. And you got to get out of your own mindset that you know how God works. And you know what God does. I want to jump to Isaiah 55 very quickly. You see, land is there, but there's work that need to be done, and God will give you the grace to work and to do. I mean, listen, let's look at the reality of all of this before I read this. You go to work for a full hour a week, you get a full time's pay. You go to work part-time, you get part-time pay. You don't go to work, you get fired. Why do we think that if we just sit there and we just do nothing that God, we're entitled to get government funds from the kingdom? When he's already given us the highest price called salvation. Anything else in your life, you better start working. Work like it depends on you and pray like it depends on God. It doesn't just happen. This is the falsehood of Christianity. All Christians think that God is like a good luck charm. Rub them the right way and good luck comes your way. God is not a rabbit's foot. God is a God that lives and that we serve and that we move and do what he tells us to do through acts of obedience. But God will bless you. God will give you property. God will cause it to rain. God will give you seed. But what you do with the seed after that, it's up to you. Seek the Lord, Isaiah 55 and 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. That's our part. We have to forsake every evil way. We have to learn to follow after God. Let him return to the Lord. He will have mercy on him. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word bring forth that comes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me. God's word is released. The written word is there for us to get it engrafted in our minds. But when the Spirit releases the promise, and when God and your faith is in alignment with that written word, and then God can take that faith and begin to help you walk it out accordingly. It requires you to take action, because the only point I'm going to give you today is this, and I want you to remember this. Having a blessed life doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. You have to do something. If you're praying and you're worshiping, start asking God for strategy for your life to see his blessings come. Start asking the Lord for understanding and wisdom to know how to take care of the seed that he's planting. And let me tell you what this requires, because he'll help you. Obedience. God will show you how to get things without you having to work so hard. God will set you up for blessings in your life when you think it's drudgery, if you are carnal. If you're selfish in any way, I got to tell you the truth. Are you ready? Got to tell you. You want to know why so many people don't see the hand of God? You want to know why? Because they don't see the heart of God. All they focus on is the hand of God. Gimme, 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 gimme. And then when they give God, when God gives them, they don't want to get the promise back. That's the problem. But when you give the promise back, God brings the provision. That's when the ram came out. When he gave the promise, God didn't kill Isaac. The angel stopped it. It's like God said, it's just a test, son. You just passed it. Now here's the provision. He brought the ram, or the lamb, the mature, the male lamb, which was a type of Christ. And his horns got stuck in the thickets, in the thorns. I think God was trying to tell all of Israel, I've said this before as well, I think God was trying to tell all of Israel when Jesus stood before them with the crown of thorns on his head and saying, this is the sacrifice that I'm providing for you like I provided for Abraham. I caught him. I brought him. He brought him. He submitted himself. No one had greater authority. But he said, I laid down my own life. The Lamb of God stood before all the nations, thorns in his head, as a sign to all of Israel. And they knew the story, that in Abraham his seed would be called, and Isaac his seed would be called, which was a type of Christ, and that Jesus would be called the seed of Abraham. God provided the ultimate sacrifice. So when you use the term, the Lord provides, Jehovah Jireh, it's not about providing your goods. It's because he's a good God that provided the Son. And then from there, everything else follows. Here's what I want to tell you. It doesn't just happen, though, after that. You see, that was God's blessing. Everything that God wanted to do, he did in Christ. Now that he did that, now it's up to you and I to fulfill our part and to pray, to fast, to seek God, to read our Bibles and become a good student, to understand the written word so that the Spirit of God can use it within our mind and ourselves, and that we can be in alignment with our prayer life and know what God's will is and understand it And it's called discipleship. And it's called the prompting of the Spirit to help us be and walk in obedience. But once you understand obedience, and then you understand that it's righteousness that leads us to this, and that it's caused us to stay in his righteousness as well, it's all about simply having the ability to hear. Can you hear the work? Do you know what the work of God is by hearing the heart of God and understanding? You know, testing is what requires conditioning requires testing. Testing requires faith. And in your faith that's developed, it's because you have been tried. You don't develop faith without being tried. Your faith becomes stronger by being tested. You know, we would have never known love had Jesus not hung on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's what true love did. You don't love people, and love isn't proven because people who love you are kind to you. And then you're like, "Oh, I love them so much." True love is proven by people who mistreat you. Talk about you. And true obedience is fulfilled when you don't want to obey. That's when obedience is tested. When you don't feel it. When you don't want to. You may not say it to God, but you'll say in your spirit will go, "Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, it's too early to pray. It's too late to pray. I don't want to serve and do that. I'm above that. That's beneath me. I'm not going to go back there and do that." Can I talk to the men for a moment? Blessed lives just don't happen. You have to be mature enough. I don't care. Get mad at me. You have to be mature enough, big enough to say, "I'll do the job nobody else wants to do. I'll serve in a way that no one else is serving. I'm not looking for an attaboy, a pat on the back, recognition, title, or anything else. I'm doing it because I love the Lord and I am going to serve him, but I'm also understand the secret. If I try to receive a reward from you, then that's my reward. But if I just seek a reward from him, God pays better." Turn to somebody and tell them, "God pays better." I'm telling you, God pays better. You have to be able to trust him, and when he speaks to you, and do what he tells you to do. That's why God gives us 100% blessing. And when it comes to our finance, God's just asking for his part back, and that's 10. You can unclench your cheeks now. We're done with that. Okay, I know what you want. You want to hear a story. The only way I can share these things with you is with the intention to understand that it's going to help you and build your faith. You see, God will always do things first or after he asks us to do it. God would never ask us to do something he's not willing to do himself. So guess what? He told Abraham, he said, "Abraham, offer your only son. And by the way, I'm going to do the same thing later. You got to do it, Abraham, because I want to do it in the earth. You got to break and you got to establish it." The principle. The principle has to be given because one day I'm going to do it, but my people need an example and a reference for later. So I need you to do it now because I'm going to do it later. God will tell you to do things that don't make sense economically because you're not tied to the economy of this world. And God will tell you to do things through wisdom and understanding that will be totally uncanny. I mean, you can't find the things I'm fixing to tell you in a textbook. You won't learn it in college. And people that think logically will tell you you're a fool if you do it. Last year, I was saying to the Lord, "I got things I need to take care of." And I was just thinking them. I need things I got to take care of. And I told you some of you the story. God, I need a new air conditioner for the house. It's hot. I need a new car. You know, I need bedding for my boys getting bigger. Furniture in the living room's all raggedy. We wore it out. We were blessed with it years ago, but now it's not brand new anymore. It's like brand used. But it was a blessing, and I'm so thankful for that. But, you know, still, we need new furniture. We need all the... I'm just thinking about these things. I got carnal in my own thinking, and finally the Lord said, stop. I told you I'll take care of you. If you seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, all these things will be added to you. So do your job, and I'll do mine. If you don't do your job, you lock me up from doing mine. I'm going to say it again. If we don't do our part, we lock and restrict God from doing his part. Promises are conditional based on our part in fulfilling them. You need to understand that. That's a principle with God. And so this is what he told me to do. You're going to travel around the nation, and when the people call you, you're not going to take up an offering for them, from them. I said, okay. But do your job. Okay. Went into prayer. I started getting phone calls. Like I couldn't send an email out or try to market myself to try to go out and preach. I don't do that. They just call me. When the time is to go, I go through seasons of it. And the Lord tells me, you're fixing to get phone calls. Go ahead and take them. And we'll do that. And we'll travel. But they did. And I told every pastor all around the nation, I told them, I'm not taking up an offering. I'm doing this as a love offering to you. Within 2 weeks of taking all those invites and telling them what I told them and praying, every one of those needs on my list that I thought about, God met them. People called me. The Lord told me you needed a new air conditioning system. I'm going to replace all of your air conditioning system. $15,000 worth of work done on my house. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling facts here and telling you it's not cheap. But you see, you have to be obedient and do what God tells you to do because God pays better. Over $100,000 worth of blessings came to me from people that aren't even a part of this church, but that love us and know us. Men, the Lord spoke to me months ago and told me, I want you to volunteer for Sip and Shine and get inside that food trailer and start working the griddle. And I said, okay, I'll do it. I got in there, got behind that griddle, started cooking. My kids are like, Dad, what are you doing back there? I said, I'm being obedient. That's what I'm doing. People would come. Wednesday night, we had an event one time. Pastor Bob, the senior pastor, lead pastor, is in there flipping quesadillas. Do we have quesadillas at that time? No, sandwiches. Cooking. People are looking at me from the outside. What's that, Pastor Bob in there? People come up. Ha, ha, ha. Pastor Bobby. No, hombre, Pastor, what are you doing in there? Doing what I'm supposed to do. Watch this. Did it for months. A couple of months at least, I think. Then our leaders were telling us, Pastor, you don't belong in there. You really need to be praying and focusing on other things. I said, okay, I'll find people to help me. So I started looking for volunteers, started reaching out. Nobody responded. Nobody responded to the call. So I said, okay, that's all right. I'll keep on doing it. One day a guy shows up to the church and he starts looking around and my wife takes him on a little tour and he sees the senior pastor working in there doing the griddle. And I'm smiling. Hey, medium or rare? We get a phone call that night and this guy was so moved and he said, I believe in what y'all are doing. I see the cause for Sip and Shine and what y'all are doing for the church. By the way, my wife and I don't get a paycheck from Sip and Shine. It supports a special needs ministry and puts special needs to work in this community. You want to support that ministry? Support that coffee shop. It's a great cause. I'll tell you, God will bless you. Well, let me tell you my story. So I'm back there. I'm cooking. I don't think about it. Can't get nobody to help me. But I'm not complaining. I'm happy. I made new friends, too. Found out that the lady that works back there, her and her husband, we were probably third cousins. And I thought, wow, found out. I found family, too. I get a phone call that night from that individual that got the tour, and he says, hey, Pastor. He said, hey, man. He said, we believe in what y'all are doing. We see you guys trying. We want to help. He said, we want to help you guys. We know you're not getting paid for that. And I didn't tell him anything. Didn't tell nobody. But see, the week before, I'll tell you this. So he goes on and he tells me, hey, we want to help you. What do you owe on your house? We want to pay it off for you. What he didn't know was the week before, I said to the Lord, I got to start trying to earn some extra income to pay off the house. He said, shut up and do your work. You can get jealous all you want to. You can't take it from me. God bless me. Guess what happened the next day? I got phone calls from men, and they said, we want to start helping in the food truck now. They got volunteers trying to work. They still need some more help. Anybody wants to be blessed, I'm telling you, it'll work. Last week, I was like, God, I got to fix the, I have some leaky faucets in the back of my house, and I got to get those fixed. I'm just telling you how God works. I don't ask God for things. He knows the problem. I feel convicted. He tells me, get to work. Do what I ask you to do. Serve what I ask you to serve. You work for me, I pay better. Talking to the men in this church, God pays better. When you serve him, work for him, and you do what he tells you to do, you have to do it unto the Lord with no reward. So we have family prayer, and I'm closing with this. Come on, Alicia. I'm closing with this. We have family prayer. We got done with family prayer. Everyone's leaving. I'm at the house still. My wife is driving off, and she says, honey, did you call the plumber? I said, no, I didn't call a plumber. Well, he just walked into our backyard. And I walked back there. He's cutting all of my pipes out. And I'm like, praise the Lord. Somebody called him and told him I wanted my faucets replaced. Then I thought, wait a minute, I didn't call and tell anybody, only the Lord knew. And I stopped him, I said, hey man, he looked at me, he goes, hey man. Like he thought I put him there. I said, dude. I said, who called you? He goes, what do you mean who called me? I said, I didn't call you. Who called you? He goes, you're not Mr. Ramsey's? I said, really, dude? He goes, this isn't 608? No, this is 606, dude. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. Listen, I'm going to cut out your valves, give you brand new valves at no cost. Then I'm out of here. Wait. Then I felt the Lord tell me, happy birthday. It's my birthday. Maybe a little thing to you, but I didn't tell anybody. Get the greed out of your life. Get the fear of people taking advantage of you out of your life. Get the fear of giving because you're afraid the church is going to misappropriate your funds. Get the I don't want to serve and I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that because the last church hurt me out of your life. This is not that kind of church. This is a safe place. But I'm going to tell you, you can't be obedient with God if you don't go and allow yourself to go through the testing to know that his voice is true. You can't allow your faith to grow if you're not going to trust God, and whatever hasn't been tested can't be trusted. And once you trust him, then you learn that it's only right to obey that voice. And I trust that voice and I rely on that voice and I need to hear that voice and I need to stay connected to that voice and I need to stay in prayer. I need to keep praying in the spirit. I need to keep going to God in the morning, in the evenings, and I've got to keep the worship music and I got to get out and stay out of those environments that are taking my spirit and drowning my spirit, because I have to be obedient to God. I have to walk in the righteousness of God and the grace of God, because I have to be tender to his voice. God has an answer for your solutions, and you don't have to pray your problems all the time. You just have to begin to praise him as a solution in your life, and God is going to meet your needs, and God is going to show up, and God is going to use your obedience. But you can't just sit there. You got to get up. You got to do something. You got to act and do things that no one else wants to do, despite what people think. Despite what people think. You think that you can outgive God? You think because God uses you to give to somebody or give to a cause, you're going to go broke? I'm going to tell you what God do you serve? My God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. My God created the heavens and the earth. My God can provide rain in a famine. My God can give me bread, give me seed. My God can do miracles, signs, and wonders. My God is a healing God. My God is a miracle working God. My God is a great provider. My God is a powerful, most powerful being in this earth. That is my God, and his name is Jesus Christ. Someone lift up your voice. Someone ask him for a heart of obedience. Just right now, ask him for a heart of obedience. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for obedience in our heart. We pray, dear God, for the tenderness in our spirit. We ask you, dear Lord, that you would begin to work, God. Get rid of the greed. Get rid of the hurt. Get rid of the pain. Get rid of the faith. Get rid of the disobedience. Get rid of it, Lord. Get rid of it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Ha ha. Ha 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 se tokonda. Ha ha ha. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let the anointing fill this house. Let the anointing fill this house. Let the anointing fill this house. Let the anointing fill this house, God. Shift our faith, shift our faith. We work for you, Lord. We serve you. You're our master. You're the good shepherd. We serve you. If you haven't given your life to Jesus today, give your heart to him right now. Ask him to come into your heart right now and ask him to forgive you of your sins and repent of your sins. Turn from your ways and turn to God. God is ready to pardon. Let the blood of Jesus be applied in your life today. Just tell him, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life. If you've not been water baptized, signed up to be water baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus, we would love to do that. If you'd like to learn more about the Spirit baptism, God wants to baptize you with the Spirit. We can help you with all of that. Sign up. But right now, let's just thank God for his goodness all over the place. Thank you, God. Peace. Now, I know there's people waiting for the third service, but I just have to just be obedient. peace all over the room. All the worry, all the anxiety. Go. Leave this building right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear is not able to be here. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe and share it with a friend. For more information about who we are, visit RiversideChurchTX.com.